97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Since when does the vice president have what sounds like a southern accent?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
Peter, we're moving on.
Never a dull moment in Washington, D.C. these days. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here with us on a Wednesday morning. We've been talking about early voting, getting started before long. There's a lot of focus on what's going to happen around the election and the debate next Tuesday. And now, in the middle of all of that, we may be talking about a potential government shutdown. And we're fortunate enough to have Chad Pergram from Fox News with us this morning to talk a little bit more about that. Chad, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, you know, I was talking earlier about Mike Johnson and moving this continuing resolution to try to avoid this, but then there's this issue of citizenship and voting that might be attached to all this, right?
Well, this is something that conservatives from the Freedom Caucus and Chip Roy, the Republican from Texas, and I spoke with Chip Roy yesterday about this. They're like, look, you know, this is an issue going into the election. We think we should force Senate Democrats and Democrats generally to vote on this. The House passed this in July as a standalone bill. What it says is that you have to show proof of citizenship to vote in a federal election. Now, Roy says the reason that they've been concerned about this is that there's a lot of Republicans who say, hey, you know, issues at the border, we think there might be people who aren't supposed to be here who might cast ballots. Democrats say, no, that's not going to be an issue. I talked to Mark Kelly, the Democratic senator from Arizona, border state, yesterday. He's like, this is a, you know, problem, you know, that they've just kind of cooked up. He said, in the, you know, solution in search of a problem, as he put it. He said, sometimes it's hard enough to get American citizens to vote. But the House passed this back in July with five Democrats voting yes. And what Chip Roy says is that you've had jurisdictions like Oakland, California, Washington, D.C., that now allow people to vote when they are not American citizens. They can't vote for the House, they can't vote for the Senate, they can't vote for president, but they can vote for the school board or, you know, sanitation commissioner or city council or something like that. And they're like, well, wait a minute, what's the guardrail to make sure that some of those people aren't crossing over and casting a ballot in a federal election? Now, let's be frank here. You know, the Republicans, you know, want to make this into an election issue because, you know, there's this idea that someone to say, oh, look, you know, the election was stolen or went the other direction because persons who weren't supposed to be voting cast ballots. And this is going to be a pressure point for Mike Johnson. He has not acceded to the demands of the Freedom Caucus on other spending bills back in the spring. I talked to one senior leadership source last night who said, I think we're going to get out of here in 2 weeks. There's going to be intense pressure not to, you know, deal with this government shutdown issue that they have to deal with by the 1st of October and just get people out of town to go campaign. And if that's the case, everybody kind of, you know, swallows hard and says, OK, this isn't the perfect bill. We're going to take this and just go home. What does that do to Mike Johnson's bona fides if there's a vote for speaker and Republicans maintain the majority next year or, you know, even if they're in the minority? You know, do they want him back somewhere in the leadership? Because continually what Mike Johnson has done is he has done things that the Freedom Caucus doesn't want him to do.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I mean, every time, and I pointed this out earlier to one of our earlier guests, every time there's a government shutdown, it gets blamed on the Republicans, no matter who's at fault.
Well, and that's an issue that goes back to the 1990s. I think some of that lives historically with what happened in 1990, where Newt Gingrich, the Republicans, won the House for the first time in 40 years. There were three, really, government shutdowns in 1995 and going into early 1996. And what happened is you had people, you know, it was pretty clear that the Republicans, you know, were the ones that pushed this. In fact, they thought the politics were good. And frankly, sometimes, let's be honest about this, there are some Republicans who think that's good politics. Look, we shut down the government. They didn't agree to our demand. So we're OK with that. You know, I mean, I don't really see, despite we had the big government shutdown a few years ago under former President Trump. And I don't think that really resonated with the voters, whether regardless of who you blame it on, even though it was the longest government shutdown in history.
So what do you think the likelihood is that they would just do a continuing resolution with all this?
I think that's pretty high. And when you really get some of the Republican leaders down and give them truth serum, I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, that's what it takes. Let's give all the politicians that.
That's right. Well, you know, it comes under Obamacare, so I don't know if we can get the prescription for it or something. I don't know. No, I'm being facetious. But no, seriously, the issue is the only way to avoid a government shutdown is to pass some sort of a short-term bill, a CR, a continuing resolution, as you say. And there is a dispute among Republicans. And if you speak with Tom Cole, who is the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, the Republican from Oklahoma, he wants to do all these bills at the end of the year, glom them together and say, we can get our work done, but you have to do an interim bill now and get this done in November or December. The other thing that the Freedom Caucus is pushing, and this is a rolling of the dice here, is they say, let's do a continuing resolution. And all that does is, re-ups the funding that's on the books right now. So this is, Biden-Harris funding levels here into, sometime early next year, because we're banking on the idea, and this is a true bank shot, that we're going to have the House, the Senate, and former President Trump back in the White House. Now, what that does is it eliminates the amount of period that a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president has influence over spending, because if you do it until just January or February, it's a shorter period of time. If they do what Tom Cole, again, this is the Republican chair of the House Appropriations Committee, wants to do, then you do all the bills that the Democrats have some input here, and that lasts until next October. So meaning, fall of 2025. So that's why they're like, okay, let's see if we can roll the dice here a little bit. But that is a gamble. I mean, the House is that's a jump ball. The race for the White House is a jump ball. The Senate probably favors the Republicans pretty strongly right now, just the way the map is.
Right.
But, to bank on something like that in the future is risky.
Good information as always. Chad Pergram, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good morning. Chad Pergram there with Fox News up on the Capitol Hill, one of the best correspondents up there. He gets the straight scoop from most of these people.
He's a wealth of knowledge. Yeah, my
really
gosh.
Is. I know.
So he's great.
Love watching him on Fox. Hey, by the way, we're going to get to a quick break here. My friend Dave Weglar is coming in from still 630. The victim of some pretty serious vandalism this weekend at his business downtown. We're going to get the scoop from him right after this. There wasn't enough coverage of this from this weekend, in my opinion, but there was graffiti spread all over downtown St. Louis this weekend. It was an effort called Paint Louis, and apparently people came from out of town to do graffiti. But what's the difference between graffiti and vandalism? Well, when it's put on a business that doesn't want it, that's vandalism. And my friend Dave Weglars is here, owner of Still 630 downtown. And Dave, thanks for being here this morning. I'm sorry what happened to your business. I mean, that's awful.
It's my pleasure, Mark. I appreciate you having on and having a good public conversation about this. It's very unfortunate what happened to us. It hurts our tiny little local family business quite a bit, but it's brought out a ton of goodwill and support from fans and a network across town and across the country. We've had people reaching out to us, and that's been very touching and has helped soften my heart a little bit.
So you when did you discover this? Saturday, Sunday?
So Saturday morning, I was coming in to give tours, and we have people coming to St. Louis all the time to visit, and some of them have enough wherewithal to come down and visit a great local distillery downtown.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And we want to show them around, and we want to show them our passion for what we do and our passion for the city we live in. That's why it's tied into our name, it's on our bottles and our labels, and it's part of what we do. We proudly and boldly advocate and promote St. Louis everywhere we go.
And you said you moved here to start your business, right?
We intentionally chose St. Louis to come here and start our craft distillery in downtown St. Louis. I love the arch. I love the town. I love what it represents. It's a great place overall,
Yeah. And I love your bourbon, by the way. I'll just mention that.
Again, trying to help.
But yeah, on the outside of your building, which you had painted beautifully with labels of your awards that you've won with your bourbon, your bottle you had painted on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
Somebody came in, a graffiti artist, and completely covered the outside of your building.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, they did. Yeah, I pulled up and was just devastated because it wasn't painted on there, just to clarify. We had local artists, a husband and wife team that we've used our entire existence for over 14 years now, and they have done all this art, the graphics, the drawing, and they put it up, and we had this custom made to show our hero bottles. There's 9 or 10 of them up there of some of our best spirits that we're most proud of. And again, you see the arch in them, you see the references to St. Louis. It's all, we're trying to showcase our art, which is in liquid form. like right. the bourbon, you know. But this was another piece of art that was up there kind of showcasing the distillery. And it was just covered in nonsense, gibberish, and all that stuff.
I know you're still waiting to get a bid to see what this might cost to get this fixed. But, I mean, to all the sides of your building, the custom sign, I can imagine that's going to be very expensive to clean up.
Yeah. It's all dollars that don't go into helping anything else. They don't go into making more spirits. They don't go into any philanthropy. They don't go into paying our employees. It's just kind of a waste on our end, you know?
What's the police response been to this? Because it's a crime. Vandalism is a crime. Did the city encourage these graffiti artists to come to town? Was Paint St. Louis an official? Was it recognized officially?
So my understanding is that Paint Louis is an officially permitted event.
Okay.
And I would like to be clear that I personally am a big fan of Paint Louis. I have taken my kids down there year after year to see this really cool art that goes up in that area, right? But like you said, there's a very distinct bold line that goes from as soon as you take that art off of where it's supposed to be and you put it on somewhere it's not supposed to be, and certainly places like a business that people don't want, that's vandalism and criminal, you know? You got to be fair and say you can't blame any out-of-town fans that come in for a Cardinals game and then get up to no good and break the law. That's not the Cardinals' fault, right?
Right.
It's not necessarily Paint Louis's fault that they also went out and did extracurricular activity. But it would be if they didn't then identify exactly who it was, kick them out of their event, right? Because they've got terms of, you know, agreement. When you sign up to be a part of that, you're registered and you're in a specific spot. They know exactly who it was. The police should know exactly who it was because these jabronis put up social media videos of them doing the desecration on our building.
And they put their own signature on it.
Thank goodness the criminals are kind of stupid now. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So we know who did this.
Still didn't matter. Yeah.
We've tracked him down you've tracked him down on social media, a few other people.
There's been multiple
He lives in
people.
Denver, we believe.
Oh my God.
Came in here, did this, and left.
Another guy from Tucson, Arizona and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of these guys, if not all of them, are out-of-towners. Right?
So before I run out of time, have the police been in? Working on this at all?
And we filed the police report, and they've gone down there. I haven't had an update on what's coming of it. I'm unfortunately not super hopeful, you know. We had a chance when all these guys were in town. He knew exactly where they were going to be right down there to apprehend them. But to my understanding, that didn't happen.
Well, before we run out of time here, just remind people that you're right down there on 4th Street, right? And close to the ballpark. Nothing's changed with what's going on inside, so people can still come down and
absolutely
show their support.
We're open Friday night, as a matter of fact. First Friday of September, we're going to be releasing a couple new spirits. We've got incredible cocktails. We're open every Friday night, 5 to 9, for cocktails, pours, and flights. So come on down and join us.
Yeah, if you haven't been down there to taste some of their cocktails, they're outstanding. And thank you, by the way. Dave brought us a bottle here to the show this morning. You just released this one, right?
Yes, that's our Double Barrel Missouri Bourbon. And celebrating 5 years of Missouri bourbon being passed into law. Which
Missouri,
is pretty exciting
Missouri
stuff.
Corn.
Got to be all Missouri corn. The barrels have to be manufactured in Missouri. And, of course, the whole process has to take place here.
Yeah.
And we're darn proud of that one.
Can't wait to try it. It's barrel strength. Carl and I will have to take it easy on this one.
It's perfect, yeah.
No, it'll be fine.
Dave Wiglar's still 6:30. I'm sorry for what's going on. Keep us up to date here. And anything we can do to help, happy to do it.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. Absolutely. All right, we're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
But a lot of big people went to that island. But fortunately, I was not one of them.
It's just very strange for a lot of people that the list of clients that went to the island has not been made public.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? Probably will be, by the way.
So if you're able to, you'll be...
Yeah, I'd certainly take a look at it. Now, Kennedy's interesting because it's so many years ago. You know, they do that for danger, too, because, you know, it endangers certain people, et cetera, et cetera. So Kennedy is very different from the Epstein thing. But, yeah, I'd be inclined to do the Epstein. I'd have no problem with it.
Yeah. How about that? I like that. I like the idea that he might release the list from Epstein Island.
I'm fixated on the fact that it sounds as though Donald Trump just woke up from a nap. Right?
Well, he's been talking a lot. Maybe
he
his
has.
Voice is just
he's
a little
traveling
rough.
All across the country. The guy's almost 80. he has to be exhausted whether he wants to admit it or not. I'm just not used to him sounding like that.
Well, importantly, he said he would do it, but would he follow through? And he also said he would release the JFK investigation, and he did not. And there was an interesting piece of sound that I pulled last week that I didn't get around to playing, and I want to play it now. Because according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the reason Donald Trump didn't release the JFK findings is at the urging of one Mike Pompeo, who you and I met last week at the Right to Life dinner.
Actually, he said that while you guys were with Mike Pompeo.
Why? What would the reasoning be for that?
Well, listen, I'm going to play the bite for you because Tucker Carlson is no fan of Mike Pompeo, in fact. And he and RFK were talking about it in the sit down. Listen.
It's just interesting, though, that a bipartisan list of presidents, low these 6 decades, have kept those files classified.
Well, you and I have both. I was astonished that Trump didn't declassify them because he promised to during the campaign.
That was Mike Pompeo who did that.
Yeah, and that I talked to President Trump for the first time about that this week. And
what did he say?
He said that Mike Pompeo begged him to. And I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here.
No,
I think he told the same thing to you.
That's true.
But he said Mike Pompeo called him and said this would be a catastrophe to release these. You need to not do it. And then, you know.
I want to say again, I think Mike Pompeo is a criminal. So that's my view. He's threatened to sue me for saying that. But I hope he will, because that's true. But that kind of tells the whole story right there. Right? That the CIA is...
Well, yeah, so that's the
why thing. Would the CIA be trying to keep these files classified if they had nothing to do with the murder? I don't really get that.
So what does Mike Pompeo know?
Well, he was the director of the CIA.
Right, but I'm saying if he's so worried and saying it would be catastrophic to release these, to RFK's point and to Tucker Carlson's, what is in those documents that would be catastrophic to release?
If like Tucker suggests,
careful,
the CIA had something to do with the murder of John F. Kennedy or knew about it,
right,
and didn't stop it, once again, people have been accused of being conspiracists for years with the grassy knoll and all of this stuff. If that came out and it's provable, it destroys any credibility or trust that people might have in the CIA, right?
He's trying to protect the agency.
He's trying to protect the agency.
Allegedly.
But that's
my point. I know exactly what he's doing, but that's it. That's it. It leads you to believe that there absolutely was some involvement from the CIA. But by the way,
everybody's dead who was involved in it. What could possibly be the harm at this point of releasing the truth and knowing that the Warren Commission flat out lied to the American people about
it? The damage it does to the CIA, the government. Government trust is already at, an all-time low?
Yes.
The Jeffrey Epstein files, I do not believe they're ever going to be released. I would love for them to be released. I do not think it's going to happen. You know how many people are probably on that list? You have the main names who have been thrown out, right? That everyone's here.
Suspecting.
Bill Clinton and others were there.
We know he was on the plane.
I'll bet you far more people you would never suspect were also there. And people would probably be moving to moving around the world, like to get the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Because if those were to be released, all hell would break loose.
I don't know. I mean, again, I'd be more interested in the JFK information than the Epstein list. I would be interested in the Epstein list just because of all the people it would embarrass, right? Who didn't think they'd ever get caught. And Giselle knows the truth. Am I pronouncing her name right? Giselle Bundchen is
a different person.
Is the model. I think I'm pronouncing
the former Mrs. Tom Brady.
Yeah, but I think I'm mixing up the pronunciation of her name with this Maxine.
No,
Maxwell.
Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. That's it.
Ghislaine.
I never get that right.
It's Ghislaine. Yeah. Sorry.
One of them is a horrible human being.
I wasn't mixing the two of them up. I just thought I had the pronunciation of Ghislaine's name wrong.
Ghislaine Maxwell knows.
The point is, she knows who's on the list, and she's never uttered a word about it because she probably knows it. Maybe it's the only thing keeping her alive. I don't think Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. He can afford the best attorneys in the world. I mean, he had a decent chance of getting out of jail at some point, and yet he ended up dead. So we'll see about that. I thought the bite on JFK was the most interesting thing of the day. The other interesting bite of the day was this thing you can pull with your Alexa. And I didn't try it because I saw this late yesterday, but I did pull the sound. And you get very different answers depending on who you ask Alexa about. Go ahead and play cut 13, Carl.
Alexa, why should I vote for Trump?
I cannot provide responses that endorse any political party or its leader.
Alexa, why should I vote for Kamala Harris?
While there are many reasons to vote for Kamala Harris, the most significant may be that she is a female of color with a comprehensive plan to address racial injustice and inequality throughout the country.
What plan?
Don't think big tech's out picking sides in this one, really? I mean, come on.
No, how could you say that? Mark, I saw no difference in the responses there.
I knew people that used to line.
But a lot of big people went to that island. But fortunately, I was not one of them.
It's just very strange for a lot of people that the list of clients that went to the island has not been made public.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? Probably will be, by the way.
So if you're able to, you'll be...
Yeah, I'd certainly take a look at it. Now, Kennedy's interesting because it's so many years ago. You know, they do that for danger, too, because, you know, it endangers certain people, et cetera, et cetera. So Kennedy is very different from the Epstein thing. But yeah, I'd be inclined to do the Epstein. I'd have no problem with it.
Yeah. How about that? I like that. I like the idea that he might release the list from Epstein Island.
I'm fixated on the fact that it sounds as though Donald Trump just woke up from a nap. Right?
Well, he's been talking a lot. Maybe
he's
a little
traveling
rough.
All across the country. The guy's almost 80. He has to be exhausted whether he wants to admit it or not. I'm just not used to him sounding like that.
Well, importantly, he said he would do it, but would he follow through? And he also said he would release the JFK investigation, and he did not. And there was an interesting piece of sound that I pulled last week that I didn't get around to playing, and I want to play it now. Because according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the reason Donald Trump didn't release the JFK findings is at the urging of one Mike Pompeo, who you and I met last week at the Right to Life dinner.
Actually, he said that while you guys were with Mike Pompeo.
Why? What would the reasoning be for that?
Well, listen, I'm going to play the bite for you because Tucker Carlson is no fan of Mike Pompeo, in fact, and he and RFK were talking about it in the sit-down. Listen.
It's just interesting, though, that a bipartisan list of presidents, low these 6 decades, have kept those files classified.
Well, you and I have both. I was astonished that Trump didn't declassify him because he promised to during the campaign.
That was Mike Pompeo who did that.
Yeah, and that I talked to President Trump for the first time about that this week. And
what did he say?
He said that Mike Pompeo begged him to, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here.
No,
I think he told the same thing to you.
That's right.
But he said Mike Pompeo called him and said this would be a catastrophe to release these. You need to not do it. And that, you know.
I want to say again, I think Mike Pompeo is a criminal. So that's my view. He's threatened to sue me for saying that, but I hope he will because it's true. But that kind of tells the whole story right there, right? That the CIA is.
Well, yeah. So that's the
why would the CIA be trying to keep these files classified if they had nothing to do with the murder? I don't really get that.
So what does Mike Pompeo know?
Well, he was the director of the CIA.
Right, but I'm saying if he's so worried and saying it would be catastrophic to release these to RFK's point and to Tucker Carlson's, what is in those documents that would be catastrophic to release?
If like Tucker suggests,
careful,
the CIA had something to do with the murder of John F. Kennedy or knew about it and didn't stop it, once again, people have been accused of being conspiracists for years with the grassy knoll and all of this stuff. If that came out and it's provable, it destroys any credibility or trust that people might have in the CIA, right?
He's trying to protect the agency.
He's trying to protect the agency.
Allegedly.
But that's
my point. I know exactly what he's doing, but that's it. It leads you to believe that there absolutely was some involvement from the CIA. But by the way,
everybody's dead who was involved in it. What could possibly be the harm at this point of releasing the truth? And knowing that the Warren Commission flat out lied to the American people about
the damage it does to the CIA, the government trust is already at what, an all-time low.
Yes.
The Jeffrey Epstein files, I do not believe they're ever going to be released. I would love for them to be released. I do not think it's going to happen. You know how many people are probably on that list? You have the main names who have been thrown out, right? That everyone's here
suspecting.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton and others were there. We know he was on the plane.
I'll bet you far more people you would never suspect were also there. And people would probably be moving to like Guam. I mean, moving across the world, around the world, like to get the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Because if those were to be released, all hell would break loose.
I don't know. I mean, again, I'd be more interested in the JFK information than the Epstein list. I would be interested in the Epstein list just because of all the people it would embarrass, right? Who didn't think they'd ever get caught. And Giselle knows the truth. Am I pronouncing her name right? Giselle Bundchen is
a different person.
Is the model. I think, yes, I'm pronouncing
the former Mrs. Tom Brady.
Yeah, but I think I'm mixing up the pronunciation of her name with this Maxine.
Yeah,
Maxine.
Maxwell.
Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. That's it.
Ghislaine.
I never get that
Giselle,
right.
It's Ghislaine. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
One of them is a horrible human being.
The two of them up. I just thought I had the pronunciation of Ghislaine's name wrong.
Ghislaine she Maxwell.
Knows. The point is, she knows who's on the list, and
right,
she's never uttered a word about it because she probably knows it. Maybe it's the only thing keeping her alive. I don't think Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. He can afford the best attorneys in the world. I mean, he had a decent chance of getting out of jail at some point, and yet he ended up dead. So we'll see about that. I thought the bite on JFK was the most interesting thing of the day. The other interesting bite of the day was this thing you can pull with your Alexa. And I didn't try it because I saw this late yesterday, but I did pull the sound. And you get very different answers depending on who who you ask Alexa about. Go ahead and play cut 13, Carl.
Alexa, why should I vote for Trump?
I cannot provide responses that endorse any political party or its leader.
Alexa, why should I vote for Kamala Harris?
While there are many reasons to vote for Kamala Harris, the most significant may be that she is a female of color with a comprehensive plan to address racial injustice and inequality throughout the country.
What plan?
Don't think big tech's out picking sides in this one, really? I mean, come on.
No, how could you
Come
say
on.
That? Mark, I saw no difference in the responses there.
I knew people that used to line the inside of their ceiling with aluminum foil to keep the government from listening to what's going on in their house.
Today they have Alexa. You don't do that?
You don't need to anymore. They just on your phone.
I'll take my foil
and
down.
Alexa, honestly. Come on.
You just activated so many people's houses.
Hey Alexa, play 97.1 FM Talk.
Very nice. We're going to be back in just a minute. Great effort coming up again to end Alzheimer's. We're going to talk to one of the folks who've got that great event going on. You can take part this weekend. Stay tuned. Well, if you've been enjoying this great weather we've been having out there, there's an event coming up this weekend where you can go have a great time, enjoy the great outdoors, and help maybe prevent Alzheimer's disease, because they're having the Unforgettable Ride to Prevent Alzheimer's. It's coming up this Saturday, the 7th. We got Brad Locke in studio with us this morning to talk a little bit more about it. How are you, Brad?
I'm good, Mark.
Welcome
Thanks for
back.
Having me back.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it's good to see you. So, you know, we were just talking about the fact that that you've changed things a little bit this year, because we've had you and my friend Jeff Ballou on before talking about this in the past, and it has been traditionally a motorcycle ride, right?
It has. Yeah. And this year we're opening it up to, we have a Jeep club, the Off-Road Hers. It's an all-women's Jeep club. And they're going to come out with us. I don't know how many we're going to expect. We're also opening it up for cars. For so many years now, we've had people just inquiring how they can be more involved. So, you know, when they wanted to come out on it, and it's always been just motorcycles. So you know, a lot of people with Alzheimer's, their families, they wanted to participate in it. And so right. we kind of opened it up to them. I think it'll be a limited number of cars, but the Jeeps may overwhelm.
What got you involved in this? Was it personal?
Well, about 10 years ago, I met a lady at a networking event named Mary Williams. She's the walk manager for the St. Charles County Walked Into Alzheimer's. And now we're business partners, and she got me to get a booth at the walk. And next thing you know, she brought a guy to me that wanted to create a ride, and he kind of dropped out. But I've just taken it, and this is our seventh year now, and it's just been one thing after another, just one year after. It just keeps on going.
Yeah. Well, you can't say enough about what a devastating diagnosis it is for someone. I've lived through it. My father was diagnosed. And it's painful for the families.
It's hardest on the families.
It really is. And sometimes the progression is slower. Sometimes it's faster. You never know. You really don't know because it's not a specific diagnosis in a lot of cases. So anything we can do to help or to boost that research into slowing this thing down or finding a cure, we want to help.
They're coming up with new things every day, every year. And, you know, when you have a family member with it, you just have to really live in their world, you know, to correct them all the time and say, you know, no, I'm this and that, you know. You just got to kind of give into it, and that's kind of the easiest way to deal with it. And because a lot of times they have an awareness about it, and they don't know what's happening. But if you just live in their world a little bit, then it makes things a lot easier, and everybody's a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah. I think this is something that's touched so many families, like Mark said, with his dad, and my grandpa mm-hmm. had it, and it's almost, it's sad, but it's almost better when they don't even realize what's going on, because I remember seeing my grandpa be so frustrated when he couldn't remember something,
exactly.
and then when he didn't even realize he couldn't remember it, it was like at least he's not troubled trying to recall something, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So,
you know, if you live in their world and just give into it, it doesn't embarrass them as much, and they don't get as confused.
Well, let's talk about details on the
sure,
ride and how people can get involved and where you start and where you finish up.
Well, we are starting this year. We kind of change it up every couple of years. This year, we're starting in Flint Hill at the Knights of Columbus Hall on Groth Road.
Okay.
In Flint Hill. And we're going from there. We're going out to Troy, to the Babylon Bar, and Mustang Sally's. We're having kind of a dual first stop because first stop always gets kind of congested and crazy, so we kind of broke it up into two spots. You can go to either one, and it just makes things flow a lot better. So we're stopping at Babylon and Mustang Sally's out there in Troy, and then from there we're going to Old Monroe to Main Street Bar, up to Dog Prairie in St. Paul, and then to DeBears in Flint Hill, which is right up the street from the after party, which is back at the Knights of Columbus Hall. We've got barbecue and raffle baskets. We've got a great guy from Vets Rolling Smoke Barbecue. It's a nonprofit barbecue guy. He goes around and does charity events all the time, and he's a great guy, and we're doing all kinds of stuff together. It's a good time.
So it's this Saturday. What are the hours, and how can people sign up?
Registration starts at 8:30 in the morning. And bikes go out registration starts at 9, bikes go out at 10:30, and the Jeeps and everything follow the bikes. And the after party's from 3:30 to 6:30, and we're going to have, like I said, barbecue and raffle baskets and DJ, and it's a good time.
Best just to show up, or do you need to reach out in advance?
No, just show on up and register, and it's $35 to register, but that gets you to the after party, the barbecue, all that kind of good stuff. We got door prizes. You'll pick up raffle tickets at each stop along
yeah.
the way.
Well, man, you were blessed with some good weather this weekend.
Oh,
aren't you?
I hope
Looks
so.
Like it.
Yeah, 70 something degrees. Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be good.
That's fantastic. Brad, best of luck with it. Brad Locke, unforgettable ride to prevent Alzheimer's happening this Saturday. So we appreciate you coming in, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Good luck
with it. Go to their Facebook page, The Unforgettable Ride.
Yep. That'll be easy. The easy way for people to find out more details. All right. That does it for us. Kilmeade Show up next. Of course, Annie and Mark will be in a little later this afternoon. And Kim and Carl and Sue Thomas and I will see you tomorrow morning about 5 a.m. Have a great day. Well, if you've been enjoying this great weather we've been having out there, there's an event coming up this weekend where you can go have a great time, enjoy the great outdoors, and help maybe prevent Alzheimer's disease, because they're having the Unforgettable Ride to Prevent Alzheimer's. It's coming up this Saturday, the 7th. We got Brad Locke in studio with us this morning to talk a little bit more about it. How are you, Brad?
I'm good, Mark.
Welcome
Thanks for
back.
Having me back.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it's good to see you. So, you know, we were just talking about the fact that that you've changed things a little bit this year, because we've had you and my friend Jeff Ballou on before talking about this in the past, and it has been traditionally a motorcycle ride, right?
It has. Yeah. And this year we're opening it up to, we have a Jeep club, the Off-Road Hers. It's an all-women's Jeep club, and they're going to come out with us. I don't know how many we're going to expect. We're also opening it up for cars. For so many years now, we've had people just inquiring how they can be more involved. So, you know, when they wanted to come out on it, and it's always been just motorcycles. So, you know, a lot of people with Alzheimer's, their families, they wanted to participate in it. And so we kind of opened it up to them. I think it'll be a limited number of cars, but the Jeeps may overwhelm.
What got you involved in this? Was it personal?
Well, about 10 years ago, I met a lady at a networking event named Mary Williams. She's the walk manager for the St. Charles County Walk Down to Alzheimer's. And now we're business partners, and she got me to get a booth at the walk, and next thing you know, she brought a guy to me that wanted to create a ride, and he kind of dropped out, but I've just taken it, and this is our seventh year now, and it's just been one thing after another, just one year after, it just keeps on going.
Yeah. Well, you can't say enough about what a devastating diagnosis it is for someone. I've lived through it. My father was diagnosed. And it's painful for the families.
It's hardest on the families.
It really is. And sometimes the progression is slower. Sometimes it's faster. You never know. You really don't know, because it's not a specific diagnosis in a lot of cases. So anything we can do to help or to boost that research into slowing this thing down or finding a cure, we want to help.
They're coming up with new things every day, every year. And, you know, when you have a family member with it, you just have to really live in their world, you know, to correct them all the time and say, you know, no, I'm this and that, you know. You just got to kind of give into it, and that's kind of the easiest way to deal with it. And 'cause a lot of times they have an awareness about it, and they don't know what's happening. But if you just live in their world a little bit, then it makes things a lot easier, and everybody's a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah. I think this is something that's touched so many families, like Mark said, with his dad, and my grandpa had it, and it's almost, it's sad, but it's almost better when they don't even realize what's going on, because I remember seeing my grandpa be so frustrated when he couldn't remember something,
exactly.
And then when he didn't even realize he couldn't remember it, it was like, at least he's not troubled trying to recall something, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So,
you know, if you live in their world and just give into it, it doesn't embarrass them as much, and they don't get as confused.
Well, let's talk about details on the ride and how people can get involved and where you start and where you finish up.
Well, we are starting this year. We kind of change it up every couple of years. This year we're starting in Flint Hill at the Knights of Columbus Hall on Groth Road.
Okay.
In Flint Hill. And we're going from there. We're going out to Troy, to the Babylon Bar and Mustang Sally's. We're having kind of a dual first stop, because first stop always gets kind of congested and crazy, so we kind of broke it up into two spots. You can go to either one, and it just makes things, you know, flow a lot better. So we're stopping at Babylon and Mustang Sally's out there in Troy, and then from there we're going to Old Monroe to Main Street Bar, up to Dog Prairie in St. Paul, and then to DeBears in Flint Hill, which is right up the street from the after party, which is back at the Knights of Columbus Hall. We've got barbecue and raffle baskets. We've got a great guy from Vets Rolling Smoke Barbecue. It's a nonprofit barbecue guy. He goes around, does charity events all the time, and he's a great guy, and we're doing all kinds of stuff together. It's a good time.
So it's this Saturday. What are the hours, and how can people sign up?
Registration starts at 8:30 in the morning. And bikes go out registration starts at 9, bikes go out at 10:30, and the Jeeps and everything follow the bikes. And the after party's from 3:30 to 6:30, and we're going to have, like I said, barbecue and raffle baskets and DJ, and it's a good time.
Best just to show up, or do you need to reach out in advance?
No, just show on up and register, and it's $35 to register, but that gets you the after party, the barbecue, all that kind of good stuff. We got door prizes. You'll pick up raffle tickets at each stop along the way.
Well, man, you were blessed with some good weather this weekend.
Oh, I hope so.
Like,
yeah, 70-something degrees, yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be good.
That's fantastic. Brad, best of luck with it. Brad Locke, the unforgettable ride to prevent Alzheimer's happening this Saturday. So we appreciate you coming in, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Good luck
with it. Go to their Facebook page, The Unforgettable Ride.
Yep, that'll be easy. The easy way for people to find out more details. All right, that does it for us. Kilmeade Show up next. Of course, Annie and Mark will be in a little later this afternoon. And Kim and Carl and Sue Thomas and I will see you tomorrow morning about 5 a.m. Have a great day.